Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Working Overtime, the bi-weekly advice-focused rustic campground to working scenic caravan park. I'm your host, June Thomas.
And I'm your other host, Isaac Butler. So, June, other than caravan parks, which I assume are a British thing, I don't know, what are we talking about today?
Well, funnily enough, we're taping this episode in July, and since I and a lot of my friends and acquaintances have been on family vacations recently, I wanted to explore how we can use that particular kind of break in our creative practice. I'm talking about a very specific kind of holiday here, the kind you take with lots of family members, multiple generations of them, if that's possible,
yep,
in your clan, or perhaps when a bunch of unrelated people rent a house together. It's not something I've done very much in my life. As a non-parent, I usually just go on a trip with my partner, but I did do the we're all in a big house thing recently, and it was very different and actually kind of useful, so I wanted to talk about it today. Isaac, your daughter is still pretty young and your family lives relatively close, so I'm guessing that you are a veteran multi-generational family vacation person. Is that correct?
June, it's interesting that you bring this up because I actually just got back from a huge multi-generational family trip that my family takes once a year. But it's not only my family, it's actually a bunch of families. The membership of the vacation has changed over the years, but the vacation itself, the annual vacation, predates my birth.
What?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. I also just want to take a moment to appreciate what is clearly an immense talent for friendship that your parents have. So how do those vacations usually play out for you? Are these a sort of communal adventures with the focus on the group rather than the individuals, perhaps especially with kids? But are you generally able to use these kinds of holidays to move along your creative projects?
Well, this year, my wife tested positive for COVID on the first day of the trip
and had
to leave it and go somewhere else. So I was solo parenting along with helping to watch all the other kids. And I had plenty of help from people. People were very generous about that. But as you can imagine, this was not a year for working on creative projects.
Yeah.
There have been years where I worked every day. I've set aside 3 hours every day and continued working, or I've brought a book that I need for research that I think will also be fun, you know?
I've done
like that sort of thing. But this year, even before my wife tested positive for COVID, I had made a pact with my therapist that I was going to use this vacation to recharge and not do work, only read things like novels that I thought I would really love, you know, maybe watch some Wimbledon, just really prioritize what brings you joy.
Yeah.
And I almost fully successfully did that, except I filed a piece for the Times opinion section like right before the vacation started, and it's time sensitive. And so when the line edit came in, you know, I said, okay, I got to go for an hour and go work on this, and did bring my laptop on the vacation, which I hate doing. What about you?
Oh, the idea of leaving my laptop or some kind of computer, even if I don't have work planned, that makes me sweat with anxiety.
Oh no, June, just bring your tablet. Leave the laptop at home. Just bring your tablet. It's really life-changing.
Yeah, actually, I did do that on this most recent trip. As I said, this isn't usually how I vacation, but yeah, I went on a long weekend in a big house with a bunch of friends, old and new. And yeah, I found it very stimulating creatively. So much so, in fact, that I want to talk through some of the things that struck me, and obviously I now realize I'm speaking with a genuine expert on this. But obviously, right up top, let me stipulate that a huge point of taking a vacation, whether it's a family vacation or any other kind, is to recharge your batteries, spend time with the people you love, generally take a break. So All of the strategies we're going to discuss today are quiet, calm, background processes. Mm. I am not suggesting that you turn a vacation into a work retreat or just move your work sessions to a different location. This is about vacations. I suspect that one of the reasons this recent break felt so revolutionary to me was that I didn't have anything else on my plate. There was no work hanging over my head. I was all caught up. I was waiting for edits on my book. I didn't have any working interviews coming up that I needed to prepare for. So my mind could wander. I am also very aware that for all kinds of reasons, Americans are the most underrested, under-vacationed people in the first world, you know? And I wish it were possible for more people to take a break. I was lucky enough to grow up in a country that really prioritizes vacations. We didn't even have an indoor bathroom in my childhood home, but we took a week's vacation at the seaside every year. British people would have to be in desperate straits before they would miss their annual holiday. That isn't the tradition in America, but taking time off is important for your creative work, whether that's a sideline, a dream, or your jobby job, if you can swing it.
Yeah, I mean, I personally think the way we do it here in the States is insane. I mean, it's an insanity that has seeped deep into my bones. So even if I moved to Denmark, I don't think I could take August off like all of continental Europe does. But, you know, and I should say the insanity isn't only in my bones. It's baked into, you know, how all of these industries work. This is a systemic problem. You know, if you're having trouble taking a vacation, it really is not your fault. Just to give one example, you know, my deadlines for both my last book and the current one I'm working on are aggressive. I imagine yours were too. They kind of have it built in to how they work, that you are going to be working on the book all the time, maybe 6 days a week, not taking breaks, not really going on vacation. And look, that is not my editor's fault. My editor and I, you know, we get along really well. It has nothing to do with him. That's what the industry demands. He would get in trouble if he didn't do that. I would get in trouble if I didn't do that. And honestly, on top of that, the art we make rarely pays well enough for us to take, you know, 5 years writing a book instead of 18 months or whatever. So it really is tough. The system here is set up in such a way as to make it very, very hard to take vacation, even when you have structured vacation time.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do live in Britain, but I still work in America, and I'm American very much in my work habits. And, you know, I will share a conversation I had with a friend recently. She's an academic. She writes books, you know, for academic presses. And she said to me, well, why don't you kind of push it off to next year, which, you know, wasn't realistic. But one of the reasons I didn't want to do that was I don't get paid until I deliver the manuscript or the manuscript is accepted. So yeah, it is built in indeed. And that's a really good point. Okay, I promise we really are going to talk about some of the ways you can get help with your creative projects while on a family vacation after this break. What's the best way to learn a language? Immersion, living where the language is spoken and using it every day in everyday situations. But if that's not on the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that's with Babbel. I've used apps in the past to learn new languages, but when I came across Babbel, I wondered if it could help me refresh my knowledge of a language I once spoke well, but was now a little bit or quite a lot rusty. I have to say, I was impressed. The advanced lessons were really useful, tips and idioms that can help with in-depth conversations on topics that I can actually imagine chatting about. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel is designed by real people for real conversations, and the tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. What's more, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for working listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for working listeners, at babbel.com/working. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/working, spelled B-A-B-B-E-L.com/working. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, listeners, Isaac Butler here. Look, do you have any tips or advice or questions about the creative process? You know, get in touch with us and share it with us and the world. You can email us at working@slate.com, or even better, you can call us and leave a message at 304-933-9675. That's 304-933-WORK. Please get in touch. We love hearing from our listeners. Thanks. All right, back to the show.
And we're back. So my first idea here is that you can use your vacation crew as a focus group. I'm not suggesting that you should come in hard with a PowerPoint presentation or hand out a 10-page survey at the first dinner, but there's a lot of time for conversation at this kind of gathering. And if there is ever a bit of a lull in the chat, by all means, bring out a few questions that you're pondering. These can be literal questions. You can assess people's level of familiarity with a particular topic, see which bits of a story they respond to, or you might just take this opportunity to try out your elevator pitch for your book or test their response to your framing of a particular topic.
Look at Don Draper over here.
Would you like to see my presentation? Is this something you've ever done, Isaac?
No, it's never even occurred to me, June. I mean, this is a really fascinating idea, but I mean, I will say there's an informal way, right? Like when once you are really deep into a project, you think about it all the time, and it often becomes the only thing you can talk about. And so in that way, yes, I've done that, but I've never done it in a, you know, focused way, brought the little dials, you know, the audience response dials so people can tune in and tell me what they think. There's one recent way that that is different, though, that I will just bring up. My mother turns out to know a lot of people connected to specific parts of the story I'm reporting out for my next book. So my next book is about the religious rights war on American art in the 80s and 90s, and particularly with the NEA. And one of the big kind of story beats has to do with this posthumous Mapplethorpe retrospective that was canceled at the Corcoran in Washington, D.C., and moved a few blocks away to the Washington Project for the Arts. Well, my mom was on the board of the Washington Project for the Arts right after this happened. So she knows all of the players in the DC art world that were involved in this story, many of whom have passed away, I should say. So we have a lot of conversations where she's like, you know who worked at the NEA who you should talk about, or you know who you should talk to is this person. And so that has come up a lot, but not the kind of thing that you are talking about.
Wow. Okay. Another idea. You can also turn your creative dilemmas into a group project. People really do like to help. So if you're having trouble finding a title or coming up with an example to illustrate something, get the whole house involved in solving your challenges. They might really help.
Yes, I think that's true. But I will say, I have real problems socializing my creative work with my family, to be honest. I get a little, I don't know, I get bashful, I think you could say, which, you know, you're laughing because the idea of Isaac Butler being bashful, I think, is somewhat surprising to you.
It's not the seven dwarf I would have picked, no.
Yes, sneezy, right?
Yeah, there you go.
And it's also ridiculous on a second level, because not only am I an extrovert, but, you know, all the people on this vacation are very supportive and very enthusiastic about my work. You know, they want to know what I'm up to. They want to talk about it with me. And I would say that I do this kind of weird dodge where I kind of do say a kind of self-deprecating joke and then change the subject. You know, it's like standoffish, but friendly at the same time. And I'm not sure why I do that. You know, I am very proud of my work, and I've worked very hard to get to where I am. I think to some extent it's that I spend so much time talking about myself in my daily life. You know, I just don't want to come across like an egomaniac or something. I don't know.
Honestly, Isaac, that is such a refreshing instinct. So I applaud you. Another thing I really enjoyed at this group vacation that I was just on was just hearing what other people are reading. You know, not just the books, that really interests me, but also what magazines or newspapers or internet sites they keep returning to. Using your family as a focus group, I already feel a bit guilty even saying that. It might seem like exploiting them, but, you know, think of it as fair exchange for all the cooking or washing up or driving or whatever it is that you're doing for them. in the course of this vacation. It's fair exchange, I say.
I can hear your guilt already. I can hear it in these preposterous justifications you're coming up with. But I do think that, you know, obviously most of us are going to go on vacations with people who read because we read, right? I mean, those are the kinds of environments we came up in. And so it is always interesting to know what people are reading. You know, my parents are in like three different book clubs. And every time I see them, I'm like, what are your different book clubs reading? Because that's interesting, right? You know, another friend is always reading nonfiction work of history. This time she was reading a book about the Boucoud's Door, right? You know, called Knives at Dawn. It was really fascinating to hear about that. You know, it's like my older brother's listening to fan fiction, you know, read for him, you know, like a reading a document while he goes about his day. You know, that kind of stuff is just, it's fascinating. It's one way to understand, you know, not only people, but the world that your work is going out in.
No kidding. Well, we'll be back with one final round of questions and advice after a break.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Listeners, it's me, Isaac Butler, again. I know you really missed my voice in the 3 seconds since you last heard it, but I do want to remind you that if you are enjoying Working Overtime, please subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And hey, if you listen on Apple Podcasts and you like this show, we would really love it if you would rate or review it. It helps new listeners find us, which helps grow our audience, which means we can do more advertising, and it means that the show will last for longer. And if Overcast is your app of choice, please hit the star to recommend this episode to others.
All right. So you're at the big house or the family camp or whatever. You definitely have tasks. Everyone needs to eat, drink, and be entertained.
I'm sorry, you didn't have your chief of staff, your house manager, set up your Montauk mansion?
Here's the thing, Isaac. I gave her a day off. I gave her a week off. So no, I was all on my own. No.
That was your problem there, June. You fucked up.
Well, when you're on vacation, it's very easy to default to phrases like recharge your batteries or take a break. In fact, I know I used those very phrases earlier in the episode, but what does that mean? How do you recharge your creative batteries? Does staring into space do that? Do you come to these family holidays with a stack of books, with lists of questions you're going to ponder? What do you do?
Well, first I peel back the part of my neck that exposes the USB port, and then I plug the USB into an outlet, and that usually works. No, I mean, yes, I always come to this holiday with a stack of books. I mean, my wife always makes fun of how much of my suitcase is books, and I never read all of them, right? Because you have to bring a bunch of options. I'm not like our mutual friend Dan Coyce. You know, at the beginning of every beach holiday, he posts a photo of the stack of books he's bringing with him, and I think he really does read like one a day. I'm not as fast a reader as Dan. I read two and a half books over the course of this week-long trip. You know, got some plane rides in there, you know, it gets done. I also enjoy watching movies, which I did not do a lot of on this trip, but that I think is really useful. But, you know, it's also important that, you know, the other thing you're actually recharging is your relationships. That's the other thing that's really important. And not only on a selfish level does that creatively recharge you to be, you know, social with people and talking to them and really doing the kind of deep interaction that a week or a long weekend or whatever at the beach allows. But, you know, you're also recharging those relationships themselves. So I spent a lot of time in the pool with my daughter and my nephews. I cooked with my younger brother. I played Mexican trained dominoes with my parents and niece and extended family late into the night. And, you know, all of that is really important because when you're really deep in the shit on a creative project, for writers, I would say for us, it's like, you know, the last 6 weeks before the book is due, for example, or when you get the copy edit which, you know, stuff like that. Your friends are going to be lucky to get an email that's longer than two sentences. You know, like you're really going to be in a cave. So it's important to take those opportunities when you have them to really invest in those relationships.
Oh, that is so nice. I love that. All right. So I admit I did not come to my recent group vacation prepared.
No slideshow?
No, no slideshow. I didn't have my prompts for introspection on my list of created challenges I wanted the group to help me with. But I really want to do that the next time around. It was like super helpful to see how people responded to the way I summarized my book and to learn which aspects of lesbian culture, which is the subject of my book, they were unfamiliar with. But tell the truth, Isaac, do you think it's a bad thing to go into a vacation with an ambitious agenda or even to use your family members or co-vacationers this way?
Well, if you're thinking about it like using them, you know, if that's the way you're framing it and designing it, obviously that's a fucked up thing to do because those people are there to have a vacation too, not to do unpaid labor, right?
Yes,
so the question is instead, how can I grow closer to and have good experiences with these people that I care about in a way that also nurtures the creative work that I'm doing? Now, that might not mean you're doing a focus group with them. That might be, you know, when we watch a movie at night, it might be something relevant to the project you're working on. Or June, you might want to be like, let's watch the incredibly true story of two girls in love, or, you know, to get a historical, you know, lesbian film, or, you know, The Watermelon Woman, or, you know, something like that, because it's related to lesbian culture. Or it might mean you have these kind of in-depth conversations with people about your work. I will say it's probably better not to just spring it on someone, to just be like, hey, you know, there's this part of my book I'm having trouble with. Can I ask you about it and get them to say yes, you know, so that way they don't feel put upon and they don't feel used and they don't feel exploited and like all you actually care about is work and they're just a vehicle for that. Because it's not true. It is possible to do both at the same time with integrity, I think.
Oh, that is inspiring, Isaac. And there's nothing I can add to that. So that's all the time we have for this episode. But let me leave you, listeners, with one last piece of advice. I think you should subscribe to Working, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have ideas for things we could do better, or questions you'd like us to address, or anything you'd like to tell us, really, we'd love to hear from you. You can send us an email at working@slate.com or give us a ring at 304-933-WORK.
If you'd like to support what we do, sign up for Slate Plus at slate.com/workingplus. You'll get bonus content, including exclusive episodes of Slow Burn and Big Mood, Little Mood, and you'll be supporting what we do right here on Working.
Thanks, as always, to producer Kevin Bendis and to our series producer, Cameron Drews, who both deserve frequent and utterly rejuvenating vacations. We'll be back on Sunday with a brand new episode of Working, and in 2 weeks, we'll have another Working Overtime. Until then, get back to work.